It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Happy Friday to you. Hope you're having an amazing day. I'll be hanging out with you for the next 2 hours. This show gets started every weekday, Monday through Friday, if you didn't know what a weekday was. Trust me, some people don't. At 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. We've had a busy show. Thank you so much to Sean Powell for joining us from NBA.com to talk about the Knicks, the Pacers, what's still going on in the Eastern Conference Finals. Pacers now lead 3-2. They play tomorrow trying to end the Knicks in Indianapolis. The Knicks are trying to force a Game 7 in New York City. We talked about the NHL Stanley Cup Finals, Stanley Cup playoffs. We are down to the Edmonton Oilers and the Florida Panthers again. Let's see if it takes us 7 games. Let's see if Edmonton can win this time. The Panthers, this is their third straight appearance in the Stanley Cup Finals. Oklahoma City Thunder, they're just relaxing, waiting to see what happens between the Pacers and the New York Knicks. We just talked about Kyle Pitts. He might get shipped out of Atlanta. Send him to, let's see, who needs a tight end? Send him to the New York Giants. Why not? Team up with Malik Nabers. A little SEC connection. And speaking of tight ends, Jonnu Smith might be moving to Pittsburgh. Okay. Wilder things have happened. We talked about Bryce Huff apparently on his way to San Francisco from the Philadelphia Eagles. Hey, how about this? In about 20 minutes, we'll have a chat with Eddie White. Speaking of the Pacers, he's the Pacers overtime host on 1070 Radio in Indianapolis. We'll have that chat with him. We got more NFL to get into. And, of course, at the end of the show, we'll talk about a few things that took place this day in sports history. And because it is Friday, next hour I will embarrass myself. Trust me, it doesn't take much. But I also don't have an embarrassment gene. I'm going to showcase my spelling acumen. Okay, last night was the Scripps National Spelling Bee. I guess I got too much of a life. I missed it. Nico, did you ever? Yeah, we could turn Jay-Z down. I'm sick of him. Thank you, Nico. Did you ever sit down and watch the spelling bee, Nico?
I did not. That was not my cup of tea, if I'm being honest.
Oh, man. So you're making me sound like a loser.
No, not at all. I have so much respect for people that like things like that. Like, this is going to sound silly, but I love watching golf and tennis, and there are a lot of people out there that think it's very boring.
I love watching tennis. I love watching golf on the last day. And there was a point in time where maybe there's so many options on TV now. I used to watch the spelling bee. I had no idea it was even going on yesterday. I had no idea. None. So I found out late last night or this morning. I guess if they had the finale, the finals, when we were on the air. And let's just be real. Am I going to sit here and talk about the National Spelling Bee finale, or am I going to talk about the Knicks and the Pacers? So hey, congratulations to the young man who won it. And as I said, I will embarrass myself next hour. I'm going to attempt to spell the word that this kid, this young man, he won. I think he won like $50,000 too, by the way. God bless him. Good for him. Put it towards school. I don't even know how many semesters does that cover, Nico? Will that pay for a college education? No, right?
I don't think it'll be enough for the whole 4 years, yeah. But.
Well, I guess if you win the National Spelling Bee, probably got some more money coming your way, I think, in the form of scholarships. We'll get into that. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4ISN. And speaking of money, I don't think this guy has to worry about money, but a lot of it may be going to legal fees. It is not Puff Daddy. It's not Pete Diddy. It's not Sean Combs. It's Zion Williamson. Okay? What a disaster Zion has become. Oh, my God. Who would have thought this? Zion went from being the next big thing to just being big. Zion went from busting out of his shoes to, I can't say that on the radio. Let's just say he's been doing another type of, never mind. He's been getting in trouble, a lot of trouble. I mean, he had the report of the lady bursting into his house to fight the other lady. His life is like an episode of Mari Povich. And he's fat. It's sad, actually. Like, I'm being a matter of fact. And this is actually, this is as sad as it gets. When I saw this news this afternoon, I just had to go, are you kidding me? Like, there's more with Zion? It's not just his hamstring or his foot or his back or his stomach. It got worse. I want you to listen to this breaking news clip from Fox 8 down in New Orleans about Zion's latest issue. It's bad.
Good afternoon. I'm Rob Krieger. Pelican star Zion Williamson is accused of rape. According to TMZ, a Jane Doe claiming to be an ex-girlfriend says Zion raped her twice in 2020 shortly after he joined the Pelicans. TMZ says she filed the suit yesterday in Los Angeles County where she says the rapes happened. TMZ reports that Jane Doe called the rapes part of a trend of abusive, controlling, and threatening behavior. TMZ also says Zion threatened multiple times to have his security guard shoot her and says Zion once pointed a loaded gun at her head.
What are we doing? What world am I living in? What is Zion Williamson? I mean, he used to have a baby face and now he got a beard and he got the tattoos and he just, they made fun of him when he got the tattoos. What, he's not, I don't think Zion is the sharpest knife in the drawer. I think he's been sucked in by the fame and the money. Let's remember, this dude was famous from high school, internet sensation, next big thing. Guy goes to Duke, drafted number one overall in 2019. Obama went to go see him in school. And then I remember when Zion got drafted. It was such a wholesome moment. Like, he was standing next to his mother. He was like, Mom sacrificed everything so I could get what I have today. And then he was asked, Maria Taylor on ESPN on draft night was just like, do you believe that this really happened, that you are the number one overall pick? Like, you're going to New Orleans. Listen to this interaction. Listen to what Zion said.
And Zion, I know you said it, you didn't believe that you would be here in this moment. When did that belief change? Was it shaking the commissioner's hand and officially being the pick?
Yeah. It don't even seem real that I just shook his hand. I dreamed about this since I was 4. And for it to actually happen, I just thank God for it.
Now the city of New Orleans is so happy to welcome you to the family. I mean, they've been throwing a party basically all day. Is there anything that you'd like to say to your new team and family in New Orleans?
Let's dance. Let's dance.
Now they trying to tap dance that man out of town. Don't nobody want Zion. And the Pelicans gave him a 5-year, $231 million deal. And damn it, he may not see it because he breached the fat clause. They had to tell him, man, we can't trust you. We ain't not guaranteeing this money. Just his history of injuries is just bad. I mean, his rookie year, he tore the meniscus in his knee, needed surgery. Very next year, he had knee soreness. He had a fracture in his foot, hamstrings the past few years. Just last season, he only played 30 games. When he plays, he plays. This doesn't count in, you know, the time he busted up his thumb. He was suspended a game last year. I don't know if he's trying to get out of New Orleans. They said he missed a flight. And so many personal reasons and rest. It's just, it's a sad story already when you think about Zion. And now we just heard this situation where he's been accused of rape. It's sad. I just thought it was going to be his weight. He's been the butt of so many jokes over the past few years. I mean, he gets picked on. Stephen A. Smith saying, oh, he goes to New Orleans. He's outside. He's eating the table. Like, they're going in on this guy. And then, forget, you got two formerly fat, maybe fat today, NBA legends in Charles Barkley and Shaquille O'Neal. Like, Charles Barkley was making jokes about him and Shaq being fat. Listen to this.
We saw some footage of Zion Williamson that caught your guys' attention. Zion warming up. We don't have him. It could be another 2-3 weeks. But, Chuck, you had a visceral reaction to this.
It looked like me and Shaq had a baby. They gonna do it, man. I look like I quit.
Hey, come on, man.
What do you look like, Chuck?
Like, me and you had a baby. God dang. That's too... He eat good in New Orleans.
I'm joking and I'm serious.
What do you look like?
It's like, ooh, Zach, we had a baby over the summer. Hey, you know what, Adam?
Yeah.
First of all, I'm concerned.
Okay.
I'm being critical. It is what it is. He's already hurt. You should not get hurt when you're young. And he's already had surgeries on his legs. Now he's got a broken foot. Even when you're hurt, you're going to have to control your eating. And if you're putting all that stress on your knees and your feet, you're just going to keep getting hurt. Mm. Somebody's got to be a grown person that says, yo, man, you got to get in shape.
It's spoken by a reformed fat man in the NBA. Come on. I thought that's where it would end for Zion. I thought it'd be like, oh, this is a guy who ate his way out of the league. Big Oliver Miller. Like, we've seen dudes that they're just so big. You think running up and down the court and burning all of that off, just everybody's body is different. Zion is like, man, I'm going to get tattoos and I'm going to do my tattoos and put them on. I'm going to get my tattoos done with no shirt, and I'm going to post it on social media. Even though I have, I don't have an NBA players. But LeBron is 39, 40, 41 years old right now, okay? LeBron about to be 41. LeBron James still looks like he is chiseled out of stone. Zion looks like he ate the stones. It's not good. And so Zion caught wind of this. He was actually asked about these comments by Shaq and Charles Barkley. And when he responded, he didn't sound like the thrilled, happy-go-lucky, oh my God, I made it to the NBA. He sounds like a completely different person, and I think he is. Listen to this.
Do you think what Barkley and Shaq said last week, like, do you view that as a legitimate critique?
And what exactly did they say?
I mean, essentially it was... both those guys said we struggled with some conditioning stuff early in our career, and like that got better, and we see that in this game a little bit too.
If it comes from a great place and a place where they just want to see me do better, thank you. But if it comes from anywhere else, everybody entitled to their own opinion. Can't control that.
Yeah. That's not the guy I'm so happy and thrilled to be here. That's a guy that got millions of dollars. And his life did change. Unfortunately for him, it changed into the negatives. He has a problem with food. He has a problem with fitness. He has a problem in his personal life, apparently with women. It's his life is a soap opera. Zion went from impressing the president of the United States of America to being a tabloid subject. It's sad. Like, I hope nothing but the best for Zion, but the way that his life is going, I'm sure he's going to be in the NBA or maybe not, but what we thought from him, I don't know if he can get there. Maybe with age, time changes things, he gets older, he adjusts, but Zion is he's starting to look like one of those stories. Zion is starting to look like those what ifs, and not in a good way. I'm hoping that things could turn around, but now with a accusation of rape, given his past history with women, and it's not good. It's not good in New Orleans. And forget basketball. I think Zion needs to focus in just on living a cleaner life. Everything that you allow into your life. Good luck to Zion. And good luck with this situation. Oh, my God. Accusations of rape. Yeah, this didn't work out the way. Yeah, they need to get him out of New Orleans. He needs to get his life together. Accusations true or not. Hopefully not. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break. When we come back on the other side, I told you, we're down to two basketball teams in the Eastern Conference. They are going blow for blow right now. The Indiana Pacers and the New York Knicks. We're going to have a chat with Eddie White on the other side of this commercial. Eddie covers the Pacers for Overtime 1070 in Indianapolis. Eddie has seen this. Does he expect for them to win back home and in the field house? Or are they going to end up back in New York City? Why don't people like Tyrese Halliburton? We got a lot to discuss with Eddie on the other side of the break. I'm just collecting my breath, just like Zion would. Well, it seems like he has to collect the breath when he walks, but I digress. We'll have a chat with Eddie White on the other side. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, the Infinity Sports Network. It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. NBA playoffs are still rolling on. Oklahoma City Thunder are waiting for who comes out of the East. We got the New York Knicks and the Pacers. At this point, they are just exchanging body blows. To talk about what we can expect to see tomorrow in Indy, what we could expect maybe moving on, joining us right now is someone who covers all things Pacers. He is their overtime host on 1070, is Eddie White. Eddie, how are you, man? Thank you for the time.
I'm doing fantastic. Hey, that was a great comparison, the body blows, because how fitting, you know, we just played a game in Madison Square Garden, and I'm old enough to remember the first Ollie Frazier fight there. And this is definitely a great description. It's two gladiators. But, you know, and here's Oklahoma City. They're sitting there just waiting, saying, hey, why don't you guys go to seven games and beat the crap out of each other? We'll take who's ever left.
Yeah, well, we've seen this throughout the series here with the Knicks and Pacers. I mean, their history overall over the past just about 30 years now at this point has just been a history of body blows. Let me ask you this, Eddie. When you see players, you see Tyrese Halliburton has a triple-double one game, a historic triple-double with no turnovers, and last night he musters 8 points. Like, can we all just pin that on the New York Knicks defense, or is there a history there of the ups and some of the downs?
He's had a history of the ups and downs since he's been in Indiana. That's something, obviously, the young man has to work on. We've seen it, and now he's never had two crap games in a row. He usually comes back with another superior effort. But, yeah, the lack of consistency is definitely something that I think would concern people. But, man, it's one of those, when he's on, God, is he on? He looks fantastic. But when he's off, he's not. And then it almost becomes like a disease that spreads around the team because, you know, two games ago, our starters had 34 points, just the starters in the first quarter. Hmm. In the first quarter. Last night, the starters had 37 points in the game, the whole game. And you just can't have a stinker like that. But, you know, I think the Pacer fans have been, you know, watching the team all year. You know, the last time they lost two in a row, just games, not home games, but just games, was March 8th and March 10th. They've had I give a lot of credit to Carlisle on that one. They have had a great ability to bounce back, whether it's on a road game, the second game, or it's a back-to-back, but they have not followed up a late egg with another late egg.
Yeah, well, we'll see what they do tomorrow. What Eddie White is joining us, covers all things Pacers, is their overtime show host on 1070 The Fan. What do you expect tomorrow being back home?
I expect it to be crazy. I know people in town all day today were talking about, is this the most important sporting event in Indianapolis, to be played in Indianapolis, since maybe the AFC Championship game that the Colts won when they finally got past New England to get to the Super Bowl that they end up winning. So there's a lot at stake. I think, you know, Pacer fans were hopeful to win last night. My God, we almost had 11,000 people at Gainbridge Fieldhouse last night to watch a viewing party. And they went home disappointed. It's a Saturday, so, you know, people are going to be getting all ready all day Saturday, whether they're getting liquored up or whatever. Tomorrow night's going to be insane. It's going to be crazy. And, you know, when you get to this stage where – you know, the team that doesn't have the home court is up 3-2 and playing game six with a chance to close, it usually produces a great ball game, a close game. And I think it will be a close game. And I think when you get to that, I think the home court is matters, which is so funny. You know, I think the reason you and I love the NBA playoffs is because the narratives and the storylines and the chapters. If it goes seven games, it's like seven different books. Well, the first three books were Road Warriors. You know, the road team wins. The home team has no advantage. Well, we could argue the last three games we've seen some home teams just kind of saying, hey, not on my turf. The Pacers certainly two games ago, and last night the Knickerbockers sent a message saying, you ain't doing this in Manhattan. It ain't going to happen here.
Well, Eddie, we see that this is still crazy to believe. They're one win away from the NBA Finals. The last time we saw that was 2000 when he took on the Los Angeles Lakers. They entered, they being the Pacers, they entered into this year, 2025. They flipped the calendar, and they were still below 500. Between January and May, from what you saw from October to December, what the heck happened? How did they change and flip things around? What changed?
Well, really, I think they got healthy in January. We had a lot of injuries. Neesmith was out a long time early. Halliburton was hurt. Remember, he had an injury at the Olympics. And so we were a hurting dog. I don't know what we were, like 10 and 15 or something like that to start. And, you know, like you think, okay, the Pacers aren't going to be any good. And then come January, everybody was healthy. And I think what really helped Halliburton is he didn't make the All-Star game this year. And he was able to rest even more because, you know, he played last season, made the All-Star game last season when it was in Indianapolis. He was like the mayor of Indianapolis that week. Then he goes and participates in the Olympics. He didn't play a lot in the games, but obviously there's travel and there's things you got to do with sponsors and stuff like that. He really needed the All-Star break to be a flat-out break. So since January, to answer your question, we've been very, very healthy. And since January, our record has been incredibly good. And I think, you know, people say, well, you know, you guys were like a paper tiger last year. Everybody you played in the playoffs was injured. You never were challenged by anybody. And I could see some of that. But I do know one thing. The team that won the world championship, the team called the Boston Celtics, they swept us. So you go, oh, man, you guys got swept by Boston. But three of those four games, the Pacers either led or we're tied with 1 minute to play. And we should have won the first game. We blew it at the end of regulation and ended up losing game one in overtime at Boston. If the Pacers steal that game one, who knows? Maybe, because we played competitively against Boston, we just lost four games. And that is sticking in the back of the head, in the back of their head. And I think that has helped the Pacers this year. And there's two guys who are key because they both have the rings and they're like the adults in the room. One's Rick Carlisle. And the other is Pascal Siakam. They are leading this young group and telling him, hey, young man, get up, or hey, young man, sit down. They're controlling the shots in that locker room.
We're being joined by Eddie White, host of Pacers Overtime on 1070 The Fan. Eddie, you talk about Rick Carlisle. We've seen how he's changed, the differences in his game. He still seems, when he needs to be a master manipulator, especially in the case of the media. How have you seen him change over the years?
Oh, my God. It's night and day from when he was here as Larry's assistant and then he was here as a head coach. He was definitely, he admitted this, he was kind of a control freak and everything was detailed. And now it's kind of like free flowing. He lets them play. He has definitely changed with the times. He's gone from a coach's coach to a player's coach. And he does quirky things like if people, and you know your basketball. Remember when he won in Dallas, there was a guy named Brian Cardinal. Played at Purdue. He's an average player. Remember, Brian was like a bruiser. Exactly. He didn't play much in the regular season in Dallas. They get to the postseason, and Carlisle looks at some matchups and goes, all right, Cardinal, you're in. And he ended up playing more minutes per game in the postseason than he did the regular season, and they won the world championship. Well, I said the other night on our postgame show, is Tony Bradley this year's Brian Cardinal? Wow. Because he hardly played in a regular season. And Tony Bradley is getting more minutes than any Pacer fan could have imagined in the postseason. Carlisle, he's been around the block a million times. He knows what he's doing, and he'll do some things that make Pacer fans shake their heads like, why is Ben Shepherd in the game so early? Or why is Tony Bradley out there? Why isn't Jairus Walker playing more when he played a lot down the end of the regular season? Hey, that's the mastery and the magic of Rick Carlisle.
And, man, I remember seeing Jairus Walker when he was playing in the junior NBA, which is just mind-boggling, seeing him knock down, threes. It's just last night. It's just wild to see the progression. When you think about all these the young players, this is a young team. We know how the NBA has changed with the collective bargaining agreement and keeping teams together. Pascal Siakam, as you said, a little bit older than the rest of the crew, but still young. How can this team progress and grow? How can they stay on an upward trajectory? Because as we know, an Eastern Conference Finals isn't guaranteed to anybody.
Absolutely. I think the biggest question the Pacers hierarchy is going to have to answer at the end of the season is, what do you do with Miles Turner? Because to keep Miles Turner, who's the longest tenured Pacer, He is beloved in town. He has put roots down here. His charity foundation just does so much work in the community. They're going to have to, for the first time maybe ever, go into the luxury tax if they want to keep Miles Turner. And again, maybe what goes into their mind to make that decision is what happens, you know, tomorrow night, or what happens Monday night, or what happens in the finals if the Pacers get there, or if they don't get there. But that's probably the big question. Everybody else is, you know, Nesmith and Nembhard, Mathurin, Tyrese, Pascal, they're all locked in. Some of them at really team favorable contracts. So, I mean, the Pacers could have another, you know, 2-3 year run before you'd have to worry about somebody, you know, breaking the bank. But the one question mark would be Miles Turner.
Eddie, last question for you here. Yeah. Are we going to see these Pacers in the finals, or are we going to got to go back to New York? What do you expect?
You know, I have, being from the East Coast, I have watched the Knickerbockers since Hawthorne, Wingo, and John Ginelli, and Red Holtzman was the coach. So I have the greatest respect for the Knickerbockers. I remember Cal Ramsey doing the games. Oh, I used to love the Knickerbockers growing up in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. And I love the toughness that Brunson delivers. And one of my favorite players is Karl Anthony Towns. That kid is so tough. I think the coach is really good. I'm just looking at our depth. And I know how we play at home, and I just cannot see New York. You know, if this was like a 2-day break, you know, we were playing Sunday, that may be invaluable to the Knickerbockers. But they got to come back and do it again tomorrow night. And I'm even in the school that if the Pacers would lose tomorrow night, a lot of my contemporaries are like, oh, it's over, we killed New York. I'm like, the way this series goes, it wouldn't surprise me if we got beat on a last-second shot tomorrow, and then we won by 11 in New York on Monday. But I think the Pacers will get it done. I just think we're just too deep. And then you know, I don't know. I think you cross your fingers when you got to go play that guy that's sitting out in the Western Conference.
Yeah, we see Shai Gilgeous is sitting around resting. And meanwhile, as we both mentioned, we're now heading into the championship rounds of the Eastern Conference Finals, Eddie. I appreciate the time. Tell everybody where they can keep up with you, listen to you, all that good stuff.
Oh, yeah, Pacers.com, Pacers Overtime, Eddie White 3 on Twitter, and Eddie White III on the old Instagram. Anytime, my friend. You are one of the flat-out, not most informed and intelligent hosts in this country. You're one of the nicest guys, too, and I love you, my man. God bless you.
Well, thank you, Eddie. We'll catch you soon down the line. Appreciate you.
All right, be good. God bless.
You as well. That Eddie White covers all things Pacers, Pacers.com, and Pacers Overtime. That was so nice of him to say. Oh, thank you so much, Eddie. Yeah, I'm going to utilize that. Please believe I'm going to milk that for all it's worth. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network, 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. We're going to take a break. When we come back on the other side, yeah, thank you so much for the compliments, Eddie. But we've entered into a world in media right now. I feel like, Nico, do you remember that show? Maybe you don't. You ever seen that show, Kids Say the Darndest Things?
I am not familiar.
Oh, my God. Ack. That show doesn't come on anymore, Ack?
I haven't seen it in years.
Oh, my God. I'm going to Google it. Oh, man. Kids Say the Darndest Things doesn't come on anymore. Wow. What a world. Ack, that's a miserable world that we live in that doesn't exist anymore.
Hey, nobody watches The White Shadow either.
Oh, my God. Well, we can go further and further back, Ack. That's sad. Anyway, we got journalists. We got reporters. We have former players that say the darndest things. And so Eddie came here and said some nice words. I could say nice words about Eddie. But we had some words about the Pacers yesterday that just make you want to scratch your head. Pascal Siakam had to answer what I found to be just a crazy question. And then we got a lot of crazy questions. We got a lot of crazy comments from media and former players. When you thought things just don't get crazier, nuttier, they do. I'm going to let you hear some of this on the other side of the break. If you want to hear from me, you can. Or you want to talk to me, you could do that too. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. Yeah, the media sometimes says the darndest things. It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. Thank you so much to Eddie White for joining us in the last break, host of Pacers Overtime on 1070 The Fan and Pacers.com. I agree with Eddie. I asked him what he thought was going to happen here in this series between the Knicks and the Pacers. And even if they go seven, I just think the Pacers have too much depth. And let's be real, they had a 3-1 series lead. But the Knicks had their chances and their opportunities, and they blew them. I just think the Pacers have too much and are too fast for these Knicks. Wouldn't be surprised if the Knicks win tomorrow. But I think eventually the Knicks season is going to end at the hand of the Pacers. This portion of the show is brought to you by Ethos Life. The easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam and just a few health questions. You can get your free quote at checkethos.com. Not available in all states. Now, I'm going to do something a little bit different. I am going to get to you about people in the media saying the darndest things, some stupid things. But we haven't done this in a while. Since Ryan Hickey went up to work with Bill Ryder, we haven't done the Friday Funny. And we've been busy. And so I do want to open up the phone lines. If you want to get a head start, if you want to get on, it is Friday. It's a quiet day. There is no NHL. There is no NBA. There's plenty of baseball. If you have a joke on a Friday, if you have a clean joke that we can that you can actually tell on the air, if you want to amuse yourself on a Friday, if you want to amuse me, if you want to sound like a jackass like the jackasses that we're going to play in a second, knock yourself out. Entertain America. Make yourself famous. Use this as your builder, you're real. Build this, build your resume. If you want to tell jokes, if you're a comedian, call me up, 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. If you got a joke and it's clean and we can deem it as suitable for radio, you can tell America your joke. 888-710-4ISN. Yeah, lighter version of the Friday Funny. And speaking of funny, I don't know if this is funny or sad. This was pretty pitiful last night. Pascal Siakam, of course he's on the losing end last night to the New York Knicks. Pascal Siakam had to answer questions after dropping 15 points, 6 rebounds, and 5 assists, like every other player does. You got to face the music after you play in a game. Pascal Siakam was asked by a gentleman by the name of Greg Doyle why they lost the game. Pascal Siakam basically said the New York Knicks played harder than us. The response from the reporter, Greg Doyle, was, well, how is that possible that they played harder than you? And Pascal Siakam is looking at him with a quizzical look like, the hell type of dumbass question is this? And we found out the reporter is the same man from the Indy Star that told Caitlin Clark, like he did the I love you sign, and she got creeped out by that, and he got suspended. It's the same guy. Listen to this interaction but just between Pascal Siakam. You can barely hear Greg, but you can listen to Pascal and just go, who the hell let this guy in the building? Listen.
Can you make sense of it for those of us who don't play this game at this level? Like, you know what was a stake, and you're saying they played harder than you guys. You didn't fight them hard enough. How is that possible?
What do you mean?
How is it possible to not fight hard enough?
What are you talking about? They played harder than us. It's okay. We played hard, but they played harder. What's your point? I don't get it.
My point is you're saying you guys got out fought.
That happens in a game, though. That's basketball.
In game 5, we didn't
you're good? You're good, bro? You're looking for something, I know, but damn. No, but I'm telling you, though. I told you. What else do you want me to tell you? Well, what about you telling me? So go ahead. Who's this guy? Who's this guy? What's your name, bro? Oh
my goodness. And that's absolutely terrible. Terrible. Who let this guy in here? And I get it. Why? He's fishing. He is. Like, they played harder than us. Well, how could, what do you mean, how could they? I don't know. What am I supposed to say? We're tired. They beat our ass. Give us a break. And that's not even a crazy, well, that is kind of crazy. And given the fact that it's from the guy who creeped out Caitlin Clark, you would think that now he got a history here. Just asking wild questions. I think there may come a point in time where they may go, why are we still letting this guy in here? I guess the media operates a little bit different out in Indiana. And that's not even the craziest thing. Before we had the game take place yesterday, we had I can't even call him a former NBA player. He barely plays, too. It's Paul George. And I guess now that the Sixers season is done and he can just be on vacation, he's back to podcasting. And so Paul George took things in an even more interesting way. Before Tyrese Haliburton, no-showed last night, only scoring 8 points. Tyrese Haliburton had a triple-double with no turnovers. But then Paul George took that as an opportunity to say something that I found absolutely nuts. Listen to what Paul George had to say on his podcast.
In my eyes, I think he is a superstar. He's the face of the NBA. He is the number one option. He's a setup point first, but he can be your late game scorer. He's been a clutch performer late in games. He can be an isolation player. That's just not his calling. I want to see him continue to do this, which I know he will.
What? Yeah, in what world? In what world? Like we know he's great. We know that. But I told you the face of the league conversation was dumb as hell. Like, what are we doing? 888-710-4I. How about Paul George stay healthy and play? Like, no more opinions from you. Go help out broken Joel Embiid. Just go help the Sixers out. Need him podcasting. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. I'm going to start taking your calls for the Friday Funny. So go ahead and get it warmed up. Try to keep it clean. Not try. Keep it clean. Let's go to Johnny in Atlanta. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. What's up, Johnny?
What's going on, JR? What Greg Dole said, I agree with him because they didn't play hard at all to me. Because ain't no way your bench can come in and put up 53 points. But you the starter, center, you only got 5 points. And you came from a triple-double, only shot 7 shots. You wasn't out there playing hard. I don't care what you said in the way. You wasn't out there playing.
He didn't.
And he called him out for it.
But, Johnny, he didn't dispute the fact. He said it. Greg Doyle's line of questioning after the fact was fishing. It's fishing. Like if you're in a basketball game, you're watching a basketball game, there's some folks out there that can play hard. There's guys who are dogs, and last night the New York Knicks dogged them out of the building. And so
Didn't you not say
the same thing? The New York Knicks just dogged them out the building. Would you not agree?
No, I'm just saying the Pacers didn't play. That's why he called them out.
Passed
he said, y'all didn't
out,
play your heart.
Passed out. No, he didn't call him out. He didn't say any of that. He asked
he
him.
He said, y'all didn't play hard.
Well, Johnny, are you going to listen and talk to me? Or are you just, can I finish what I want to say on my show? It's the Johnny Show. Go ahead.
No, I'm going to listen to what you got to say. I apologize. Go ahead.
Pascal Siakam was asked a question. He answered it. Greg Doyle then continued. Well, what does that mean you didn't play hard? He's like, what? What are you talking about? They played harder than us. Like, at that point in time, look, man, take it from someone who has worked in this for a long time and been around this my entire life. Most of these, and this is a reason. You want to know something, Johnny? There's a reason why I have done television. There's a reason why I'm doing radio. There's a reason why I don't go into locker rooms. Because I don't want to be associated with these questions where the journalists are out here fishing for stuff to put on the internet. They're fishing for stuff to put in the newspaper. I think everybody agrees. Everybody who watched the game knows and understands the Pacers were outplayed by the Knicks. Pascal Siakam said so. But after Pascal,
I got a question.
It don't seem like you're listening.
I'm listening.
After Pascal Siakam tells you that the Knicks outplayed us, they out-hustled us, they played harder than us, to have somebody stand in front of him and go, well, why? Why is that? Is almost antagonizing. What do you think you're getting out of them? Nothing. It's a waste of time.
All right, I'll play this. You saw the game. If your bench can put up 53 points and you the starters only can put up 37 points, so that means your bench played harder than you too?
No, Johnny.
You can say I'm fishing everything else.
Johnny,
this your show.
What you're saying and everything is else. What you're saying is irrelevant. I'm talking about Greg Doyle. I'm not talking to you about the basketball game. I'm talking about the line of questioning. Pascal Siakam answered the question. The guy then went fishing for a harder answer. What you bringing up the bench points is irrelevant. Why is the guy got to be a jerk?
But the question was, did y'all play hard? He wanted to admit. Because he know everybody saw the game. You know they didn't play hard. If you
fishing.
Shot seven shots, you didn't play hard.
He's fishing.
You know that.
We know that, but he's fishing and he's being an ass. This is the same guy who looked at Caitlin Clark and said, I love you. Who says that to a woman you never meet? That guy's a creep, Johnny. It's the JR Sport Brief Show. Don't be a creep like him.